Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A congregation was celebrating Christmas in their brand new sanctuary for the first time. And what made it even more special is the fact that it was Christmas Eve. Everything was perfect. The church was beautiful, and the wall behind the altar had been designed to hold a number of poinsettias, which added to the beauty and the splendor of that evening service. One of the young boys of the congregation had sung a beautiful rendition of Once in Royal David's City. The vocal and instrumental musicians were perfectly in tune and on the same chord. Their tone and energy and volume were sensitive and beautiful. And the people of the congregation were comfortably settled, drinking in the moment. Children snuggled close to their parents, and the light from the candles made the walls and the faces of the worshipers seem to glow. For many, it seemed a perfect Christmas. And then as the communion liturgy began, the platform holding the poinsettias kind of wobbled, and then suddenly, with a crash, they all fell over. And clay pots loudly shattered, dirt and tangled plants scattered everywhere. It was a mess, and for some, their perfect Christmas had been shattered. But for others, Christmas was perfected in the sharing of the Lord's Supper in the midst of scattered flowers, dirt, and broken pots. Those pots proclaim the truth that our world is broken, that we are broken. But into our brokenness came Jesus. In the midst of desperate efforts for a perfect Christmas, it was in the brokenness and mess of those flowers that Christmas became perfected. Jesus certainly didn't come into a perfect world that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago. He was born into a world that was broken by hatred for the Romans who occupied the Holy Land. It was a world broken by distrust and disgust for Gentiles who were considered unclean and shut out from God's love, forgiveness, and grace. It was a world where injustice, confusion, and pain abounded among those who call themselves the people of God. But no amount of brokenness and imperfection would stop Jesus from coming. He came as a vulnerable, breakable baby. He came so that he might be broken on a cross. And although the prophecy was fulfilled that said not one of his bones would be broken, when he was nailed to that cross, Jesus was broken. He was broken in heart as he saw the pain and grief that sin brings into your lives. He was broken by the hatred of those who rejected him, their one true Savior. And he was, as he was forsaken, as he suffered the hell that we deserved, he was broken away from his Father while he hung on the cross. He died there for us on that cross. And then his body was placed in a tomb. But the good news is that the grave could not hold him. God raised him from the dead to demonstrate that the words that he cried out to his Father on that cross, "It is finished," were true. It was all done. His sacrifice was sufficient. And now you and I are free. Pastor Ken Klaus put it well in an Advent devotional a few years ago. He wrote, "In those hearts and homes, as the Word still works, the Savior still comes. Born of a woman, he is one of us, yet better than us. Look upon the little hands and remember, they will be pierced to save you. See his beautiful brow and recall how it will be crowned with thorns. Listen to his first cry and hear that echo 33 years later upon Calvary's cross as he proclaims our salvation finished. This is God's story of redemption and renewal. It's the story of good news of great joy. It's the story of our Lord, the Savior for the centuries." And yet, in spite of his birth and his dying and rising again, like those pots of poinsettias, our world remains a broken world. We continue to feel the pain that this broken world dishes out. and this year, as it is every year, as I look out at you, I see some of you who have personally experienced that brokenness in ways that have changed your lives forever. Loved ones die, and we're forced to stand at their grave and say farewell. We experience the pain that our sinful, broken lives bring upon us. Illnesses, addictions, depression, shattered bodies, minds, and spirits. But even still, Jesus comes. He comes to you with words of comfort, promise. And hope. He comes to assure you that because he was broken on the cross, your sins are forgiven and you are reconciled with God. And that's why the Father sent him. All this is from God, Paul wrote. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's why he was born. He came to tell you that despite how desperately you want a perfect world, a perfect Christmas, no Christmas can be perfect until your brokenness is healed in him. St. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Those words tell us that remaining broken this side of heaven is all part, it's all part of God's plan. Not his plan for us, but his plan for those who will see him through our brokenness. You see, as you're chipped and bruised by the brokenness of this world, God says that he will use you to bless others. And he does that by enabling you to speak into the pain of the lives of others. Paul writes, blessed be the Father and of our Lord, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Kind of confusing words when you read them, but because my heart was broken these past few years by the deaths of people I love, I now have a much better understanding of the pain other people feel when their loved ones die. But I can even now speak more confidently to the peace that comes from knowing Jesus' promises of resurrection and reunion for those who die in him. In the same way, someone who has experienced cancer or struggled with addiction or had to contend with financial difficulty or any other number of painful experiences, they can offer the hope and assurance to those who are experiencing the same kind of problems. You see, God puts his treasure, his son, the light of the world, into us, chipped, battered, and cracked jars of clay, so that he might reveal himself to others. In fact, unless we're broken, the light can't shine through. Sometimes it seems that the problems of each new day or each new year breaks into our lives in some new way. That's why God still comes. He came as the Word made flesh. He comes to us in his Word to give you his promises that were passed down through the ages by our fellow saints, his prophets, apostles, and evangelists. And today he comes again to declare to you that your sins are forgiven in this meal of grace and peace. It's here in this meal that he gives you his broken body so that your brokenness can be healed. And as you receive him, he joins you in all of your broken and scattered messes, and he assures you that you are never alone, that he will never leave you and will never forsake you. Christmas 2018. Christmas 2018 is almost over. Was your Christmas perfect this year? Probably not. You know, maybe something fell off your wall. Or maybe a perfectly planned meal somehow didn't measure up. Or maybe someone disappointed you, someone you love. But you know, that's okay. You're still having a Christmas that's perfect because Christ has come into your broken world. And he allows you to say today and every Christmas, that even though the gifts or family or events aren't perfect, in Christ you still have a perfect Christmas, always and forever. Amen.